All right, welcome back, guys. It is episode 12 on the Chase and Tail podcast. Got Kyle, Logan here. It's just us. It's a Sunday night in late March with a blizzard blowing in, so perfect time to hop on and do a podcast after an eight-month hiatus. So I guess kind of jumping into why we had a hiatus is we had high hopes that we were actually going to get a lot of content for you guys to get out on YouTube, video-wise, and that just didn't happen.
Didn't work, no.
The boys had a really good year. Kyle shot a bear. We got that on video, got that out. We came into late October. We had some deer hit the ground with the bows. I think Jake shot one.
Hunter shot one.
My dad shot one. That was in late November, I believe. Yeah. You shot one during Minnesota rifle season. I think that's kind of it. My brother shot one. So the whole crew and family kind of...
Claire shot one,
that's right. And I think Matthew and I were the only ones that didn't tag a deer. Jess shot a doe.
Yep.
So it's kind of sad for Matthew and I. But the team actually had a pretty damn good year.
You guys didn't have much to chase really this year. You had your one no name, but he ended up getting shot. So
my one target buck got shot. I wouldn't even call him my target buck. It was up in the air. I think I kind of came to terms that if I saw him during rifle season and I had my bow in the hand, I was going to shoot him. But I think I saw a total of 5 bucks this year throughout the whole season. And they were all little spikes or six-pointers. I didn't see anything worth getting shook up about. It was a weird year. I think acorns had something to do with it. But
good.
Now we're just looking forward to 2024.
Yep.
So
it's new year, new deer.
New content.
New all sorts of stuff.
We started a new series on whitetail habitat improvements.
Yep.
Kyle and I kind of found a new love for improving our properties that we already have right now for better hunting, better deer habitat, and just better habitat for everything else in general. But you want to kind of jump into that quick?
Yeah, so we met with Sam with Purpose-Filled Habitat Solutions?
Management.
Okay. We met with Sam last year, and we did a walkthrough with Logan's property up north, and I don't know, it struck something in both of us, seeing what can be done to improve your land for, everything, deer especially, from simple things to, big projects like what Logan's got going on right now at his house. But I don't know, it struck something in us, and we're both got the itch right now to do any kind of project we can.
And we got 3 projects going on right now.
You got the one up north, the Project 120.
Yep.
That you guys can see on our YouTube channel.
Trying to
document as much as we can of that. We got buckthorn removal at your house.
That's a project in itself.
It's a big project.
That one's going to be interesting to see how it turns out.
Like Logan was telling me before we started this about how open your woods is.
Oh, yeah. It's nuts.
But,
We have like 30 by 40 foot areas where there's no trees. It was just all clear buckthorn that we went in there, took out. But obviously we're going to have regrowth coming.
Right. It's for the better, it's in the long run, it'll be way better for the property. Yeah. And then doing some bedding stuff mainly down at the Princeton farm.
It's probably my favorite part to do.
The bedding stuff?
Bedding in general.
It's fun because, for one, I love running a chainsaw, and two, it's like, what I love about it is you can see just like, it's all, you gotta like visualize it in your head first, you look at this piece and it's like, you walk the property and it's like, where can we set up for bedding? Once you figure out kind of the best areas for the bedding, you like look at it and it's like, all right, now how can we make this area the best bedding area possible? And it's like, It's
hard to explain because
it's like an art in a way.
You look at it, and you have no clue where to start, really. Right. You look at the one area that you want to attack. Mm-hmm. You have no clue where to start. You don't know what tree to cut first. But then once you actually start laying trees down, it just, boom, pops in.
You get like that image in your head, and it's like, okay, yes, this one here, cut this out, so we got a trail coming this way, and it's like, it starts clicking in your head, and then like, we did that one down in Princeton. Me and Logan had did the one in Princeton, I bet you I've walked through it at least 3 or 4 times now. Just like, make a little adjustments here and there and like kind of fine tuning it. But like I walk through it and like I smile when I'm done. It's like, man, like that.
It's going to be rewarding. Obviously, I mean, we haven't seen it yet, but.
Right. I think it turned out great, but just hopefully deer think so too.
Yeah.
But like the issue with our Princeton farm is there was no bedding. I mean, the deer.
Just basically all river bottom down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, all river bottom.
You have that one slough, which you want to try pulling those deer out of that one slough because we talked, you want to try using that for access to your one stand.
Right.
Which would be huge because basically all farmland, most of it, probably 80%, maybe 90%.
No, it's 90-95%.
Just ag field.
Mm-hmm.
And getting into your one stand on the south side, it's tricky. I mean, you have, if the crops are out, you're toast. Like you can't get into that stand easily. So we're hoping that pull those deer out of the slough into the woods, into those bedding areas.
Mm-hmm.
And right now you just have two. That you did one without me, and then the very first one we did together.
Yeah, they're kind of like more. All a part of the same. Like I just kind of like expanded on the one me and you did. It's it's a core area, and like kind of funnels out, and goes to like another core area in the same location. But there's a few other. That one other spot me and you talked about, that little lowland, and then one across the river.
Mm-hmm. That one, I think that one's going to be the best area.
Yeah. I've walked it twice now since me and you have walked it, and each time I walk it, I'm getting more and more ideas. It's like, okay, yeah, it's going to set up nice if we do it that way.
It'll be interesting to see how it turns out just because it is on the river bottom. Like, does it matter if we have a bad winter and it floods out?
Right.
You know, what happens to those trees that you do hinge cut? Do they stay living? So that's one thing that we're kind of... You don't know.
Right. Well, that's a hard thing about doing it in the river bottom is like we have a food plot it's lowland, but I won't even call it in the river bottom. It's more out in the ag field. And
it's on the lowest point of the ag field.
Right. And I put a, a post out in my food plot a couple years ago. River flooded one spring, and I went out there after the water went down, and the post was, I buried it like 2 feet in the ground, the post was gone.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So you think you do all this work to do all this hinge cutting down the river bottom, and you get a big flood, who knows what it's gonna look like when it's, because I mean logs show up all the time when it floods.
And I think that's one of the reasons I like to start small, like in a bedding area. Just a lot of these guys like to go a half acre to an acre size right away.
Right.
I want to start small, make sure the deer are using it for one, make sure they're in there before expanding. It just, in my mind, it makes more sense before you go out and start cutting all the woods down, the trees down.
Because you can always expand it, but if you like blast in this acre or 1.5 acre bedding cut, the deer don't touch it. Now you just ruined an acre and a half of wood that you can't really get back. Mm-hmm. But if you do a little, quarter acre, half acre, and the deer are loving it, then it's like, okay, let's go in, let's expand it, let's do more of them or make it bigger. One of the two,
That's one thing that I kind of learned, that I want to start doing.
Mm-hmm.
Just start small. You don't need to go big, extravagant right away. It just, in my mind, doesn't make sense. If you don't know, if this is your first time on the property doing it, you don't know how those deer are really going to react to it yet. But I think up north, we did that one bedding cut last June. Third week in June?
June.
I think it was June. And, we get deer going through there now. It hasn't sprung up or anything yet.
Probably didn't get much regrowth.
Yeah, we haven't gotten any regrowth yet. Hopefully this spring it does, but they're going through it at least. So maybe that's one of the areas we go and expand this upcoming spring here, but that project in alone is going to be a big one that is taking a lot of work. But that's kind of our habitat.
Yeah, I mean,
situation.
Me and Logan have been obsessed with it lately, and it's only gonna keep growing, and I want to keep doing more and more, and experimenting and just, yeah. I want to know everything there is to know about it.
I did my first frost eating.
Yeah.
Have you done a frost eating before?
Just with you.
Just so that long. It'll be interesting to see how it comes up. I know we did it last week in February.
Yeah. It's been an awkwardly weird.
Yeah, it's been a super mild winter for Minnesota.
So when we did Logan's frost eating, there wasn't any frost in the ground. Like, it was spring. It was probably 55 degrees that day, but
the week after, it actually froze, which I was excited about.
Right.
And, you know, thawing out and freezing again. But now that we have snow, I have no doubts that it's going to get into the ground and it's going to do something.
Right.
But
yeah, I'm really excited to see what that turns into.
It'll be interesting. I did it in two spots. So on Claire's grandpa's property and then right behind my house, I spread the rest of that seed. So we'll see what happens. I did it in a little food plot in basically the front yard.
Nice.
It is all bare and it's flat, so I figured why not.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we got cooking. We got turkey season coming up.
Yeah.
I think we're planning a weekend for a turkey bash. Last year's was an absolute failure.
Yeah, it can only get better. We killed one bird last year.
We killed one bird on the first morning, and we had birds everywhere, and we thought, you know, by Saturday night we'll have half the tags filled.
Think six guys that are good turkey hunters spend a whole weekend together would kill more than one bird? But
it was tough.
Bad conditions. This year can only be better.
The weather wasn't great. We had like sleet.
Yeah,
that
cold
morning.
Sleet,
cold.
Crap.
But I went the whole season without killing one.
So did I.
I had a couple opportunities, but they never actually stepped out for me to shoot.
Yeah, I had a couple opportunities where if I had a shotgun, it could have been game over. But you know, using a bow, you got to wait for the right shot. It's with the bow, it's hard.
Yeah, definitely tougher. I actually might just buy a shotgun tag this year.
I've been debating it.
Got to see if we can get one for opening season. I doubt it.
Right.
But I haven't shot one with the shotgun, so
it's easier.
I know. I don't know why. I've missed once with the shotgun when I was younger, but which is embarrassing. Matthew will never let me live that one down.
I've missed the shotgun before.
Yeah. Happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
I guess going back to last season, I shot a doe, so it's not like I didn't try. I just couldn't find it.
Yeah.
That was my lowest point of the season right there.
Live and a learn moment. Yep. Which, I mean, I don't think you did anything wrong. It's just, what did happen? You hit high shoulder?
I just hit high shoulder. I was tucking it too tight to the shoulder, I think. And
she ducked a little there.
She ducked a little bit, but not enough to, I just flat out
screwed it up. What do you do? I bet you want to do it again. Well, you might someday, but not.
Yeah.
You'll work harder towards not doing it again.
That was a bummer. That was a bummer. I didn't find the arrow. We tracked on hands and knees for
a long time.
A long, long ways.
We got to a point where it's like, she's not dead.
Yeah, she's not dead. We were probably chasing her at that point.
Yeah. I tried to shoot a doe all year long, and I've never hunted so hard for a doe in my life.
It's almost harder to kill a mature doe than a mature buck.
And, like, I would hunt hard and hard and hard for just the doe. And I kept waiting for, like, the perfect slam dunk opportunity just to, like, 20 yards pinwheel a thing. And then one time I was sitting in the stand at Andrew's parents, and a doe, it was two does, one real big doe, like a yearling doe, like a last year's fawn. Mm-hmm. And then an actual fawn came out. It came into, like, 5 yards. I had her 10 yards broadside. But the fawn was, like, nudging up to her and, like, rubbing up against her. I was like, oh, I can't. I just set my bow back down. I was like, hey, I don't want to deal with a deer tonight anyways. And then
it was a warm start of the season. It was really warm all the way almost through October till like the last week.
Right. Then I screwed up. I didn't screw up. I had a muzzleloader failure late season on a doe. It was not my year for shooting a doe. I tried.
Didn't you have like two failures on the muzzleloader?
Well, one, we were out doing deer drives all day, and it was snowing that day, and I must have got water in my barrel or something, or snow down there, and I figured I'd better just shoot it out and just to make sure, and it was a dud. And then I repacked it, and I went out a couple days later, We had just had a fresh, perfect snowfall. I mean, it was cold. Conditions were just perfect. I was sitting up in a tree stand out, like in the middle of the woods, and four does come down the trail. Just perfect as you could expect it to be. Just still, calm, quiet, fresh snowfall, and they're coming right in front of me. They get to like 50 yards. The doe in front was a nice mature doe. She turned broadside and put the crosses on her, squeezed the trigger, and I shot a dud out to muzzleloader.
Two duds.
It was less than a week. Yeah, less than a week. It was a brand new muzzleloader I just bought too. And I don't know. I don't know if I have bad powder or what. Yeah, it was a bummer.
But for the upcoming season, we're not going to Nebraska this year.
No. First year in five years I haven't gone to Nebraska.
For one, last year deer numbers were down, but the cherry on top is they're raising tags to like $700 for non-residents.
Yeah, we're going from $300 to $700, and it's fun going down there, but it's not worth $700 and some dollars. So, not this year. I mean, I will go back in future years because we got buddies down there now and stuff, but yeah, this year, I'm ready to just take a break and try something different.
I think we learned our lesson too, not to stick in one area.
Yeah.
We stuck in one core area that we're used to, and there's just no deer. And we just kept looking on, you know, that area, and we couldn't find anything. We should have packed up and went 2 hours west. I mean,
just somewhere else. Yeah. 2 hours west, 2 hours east, 2 hours north.
Anything. But
yeah, so I think we might try North Dakota.
Yeah, I think we're going to. Deer numbers out there were down this year because of the winter. Hopefully they take a bounce back because they had pretty much a mild winter too. But I think this late July, early August, you and I will head out there for a weekend, do some scouting, put cameras up.
Do some door knocking.
See what we can find. I guess around here, if I don't have anything like I'm expecting not to have for a shooter, I'm going to make a focus on public land.
Right. You got your couple maybes around your house, but other than that,
if they made it, that's the big question, is if they made it. But
yeah, then I got Merle. He's my number one this year.
I'm excited to see what he turned into.
Don't think I've ever been more excited for velvet pictures. And I mean, I'll put my cameras out probably beginning of May just because I'm excited and I'll just get stumpy base pictures. But Merle's a 9-pointer I was chasing last year and had him at 20 yards opening night. Couldn't shoot him because it was too dark. Chased him all year and like I'm happy I didn't get an opportunity because he wasn't really a shooter. He was my best year other than really the one I shot, but he was not even anything in the had a chance at. But Merle was he was need another year, so I'm happy he got through the year.
He was close to 130s, but yeah, you and I have kind of set higher expectations now to try shooting bigger ones. But
and I seen a picture of him from the neighbors in, I think it was February 24th. He still had both his antlers.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, he's still alive.
That's good.
I was out there looking for his antlers, I think, before that. So
this year has been weird.
It's been weird.
Speaking of sheds, I was just talking. I can't remember who it was. I think it was yesterday. As my Uncle Pete, he showed a picture of a buck that he has on camera yesterday of still having its antlers. Yeah. I almost just gave up even wanting to look for sheds this year because, for one, we had no snow, so the shed, if you do find a shed, you're for sure not finding this.
No, they never herded up.
Yeah, there was no herding up.
They're so spread out.
They could basically get food wherever they wanted. Yeah. They didn't have to herd up to the big fields or.
That's always my go-to for sheds is I find like that one field all the deer are feeding in where you drive by and there's 20, 30 deer out there. It's like, all right, I'll get permission on it, walk it, and it's like, boom, they're out in the field. You know, because they sit so much time sitting, digging through the snow.
Yep. I do want to still walk our neighbors, basically between
to the
my place and then Andrea's parents.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually excited for that property that I got permission on last year. Mm-hmm. Hoping I can get permission on it again this year and see what happens. I got permission to the neighboring property just north. After I kind of was striking out, I found a buck that I wanted to shoot. I saw him during the rut, second week of rifle. He came through on a Friday night, or Friday morning, and then Sunday morning he came back through chasing a doe the other way. But I found a pinch point, which I think it's a pinch point. I mean, there has to be deer that
funnel through. The one me and you walked through there? Oh, yeah.
And it was already late. It's probably almost December by that point where I got permission on it. Mm-hmm. So I think early season could be a huge,
right.
huge key.
Especially right with the big egg field right there.
So.
And then speaking of which, we have to, well, so me and Logan, we have his house and my in-laws are very close to each other. We actually have the same bucks on camera, which is kind of cool. But mm-hmm. we do got to spend a weekend sometime walking all that fresh heads because between what he has permission on and he owns and Andrew's parents and what her grandpa owns the land up there, we have probably over 300 acres mm-hmm. to walk there.
Yeah, we could.
And it'd be cool because we both have all the bucks on camera. So anything we find, we probably know who it is.
I didn't tell you. So Aaron, this is totally off topic, but Aaron, O'Connick, they were over mm-hmm. Thursday night. No, it was last Friday they were over. He left and he had a buck run in front. He said it was a 4x4. He said it was a nice buck right north of my place. So I'm curious to know what buck that would be.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like up by Andrew's grandpa's land?
I'm assuming
land?
That's where it ran into, yeah.
Thursday night saw both his antlers?
Last Friday.
Last Friday?
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. I mean, we're almost to April. And I've had bucks hold into March, but I mean, I've never... Mm-hmm. My camera died like 2 weeks ago. I haven't put batteries in it.
I pulled my cameras early this year. It was December yet when I still pulled mine because I was done.
Well, in winter is so hard. Like, I have one camera I keep out on my one food plot throughout the winter. I'm putting batteries in it once a week. The cold is so hard on them.
Well, I figured December, it's basically the start of winter. If I don't get them out now, I'm not getting them out until spring. Right. And I pulled them, and there's no snow now. But maybe with this weather that's moving in, it'll stress them just enough to drop the antlers.
They'll drop when they're ready.
But it is a weird, abnormal year where they're still holding like this.
That's crazy. I wonder which buck that was.
I don't know.
I'm sure we know which
it has to be that eight-pointer that you were getting late in the season. It has to be that one.
Yeah, we should walk that one. In a couple weeks when it gets nice, we should walk that. Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else?
I don't know. I'm excited for this year. I think me and Logan are both our heads are in the right way. We're putting in the work and time now, and hopefully all this time we're putting in now pays off this fall. And hopefully this coming year is a good year.
My goal for up north, like with the habitat improvements, is not to go up and shoot a big buck this year. My goal is to hold deer where we go out and sit and we see deer. Because right now, like last year, I did not see a single deer while I was sitting. And that is one of the most frustrating things that you can have.
Right. Well, and you guys are expanding your food plots a ton too. I think more food, more cover up there is going to do it great things.
Yeah. But there's potential up there. Like the neighbors are like our family friends that we talked to. They live up there. They hunted there the whole life. You see the deer that they've shot. There's potential.
When even trail cam pictures that I was shocked when you guys showed me those trail cam pictures from the first deer.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice, really nice box up there.
And it slowly just dwindled as from 2018 to basically this year, the winters were not great. Like they were hard on the deer herd.
Yeah, and string of good.
You add winters. Wolves into the mix that doubles the casualty.
It doubles, at least.
So, I mean, the first year, we bought it in 2018 of November. We went there shed hunting and started doing work April of 2019, maybe May. We found a total of 5 to 7 deer, all bunched up in one area, just dead.
Really?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's such a bummer, too, because like the trail cam picture, I mean, it was nice. It's a nice box up there.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you say we make it, we try to get more podcasts out this year? I think that's a good goal hopefully get a couple more of these out.
The ultimate goal would be once a month.
Yeah. not once
if
a year.
If we were overachieving, it would be twice a month, but yeah. We're busy. We're trying to improve the habitat. That's kind of like our main focus, I feel yeah. like, right now. And
well,
we're trying to bring all of the videos out to you guys so you have this.
Right.
But
well, I'm just trying to get, like, the important stuff. Not saying podcasts aren't important, but, like, doing the actual work that will improve our success yeah. comes before doing this, which yeah. this doesn't take much to do when we're out, you know, doing food plots and management work. And
yeah. we'll have more that we can come in and sit down and talk about as we're doing our habitat stuff to have key points. Maybe this summer is, maybe this spring we do a shit ton of work, we get it done, and we have more time for podcasts, maybe get some guests on. I know we've talked to people and they would love to come on. It's just the
sure.
scheduling portion is so hard when yeah. you have two different schedules.
Everybody's
you add
busy.
Someone else into it, that's another yeah. schedule. So it's just a tough thing to do. So stay tuned and watch out for Project 120 on YouTube. More podcasts.
More
just, I guess, updates probably more so on Instagram as to what we're doing week to week. Hopefully now with nicer weather after the snowstorm, we can get out in the woods and do some more work.
I know I got a list of things I still want to get done, and I'm sure you do too.
Yeah.
I know you do. I have a couple more things I need to get done before things start to bloom. So,
yep. Maybe we'll walk a couple more properties here.
Yeah, we have Andrew's parents, you know, my boss, and people that, you know, just doing it for free, just mm-hmm. get us more knowledge to walk their property and kind of figure out what would be the best game plan.
Ultimate goal, I think, is to maybe do this one day.
Yeah.
You know, help other people out.
That'd be the ultimate goal.
I know a lot of people share the same passion as killing big bucks. It's just sometimes you need those extra opinions to yeah. know where to go and how to get started. I think that's, Sam is a huge reason why we're even into land habitat management.
Oh, absolutely.
Now.
Like, I'd
so
give
can't
all...
can't thank him enough.
Yeah, but, all props to him for yeah. that.
So, stay tuned. Keep chasing that tail.